Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. All right, so on today's show, we're going to have marketing advisor Kenny Harper on, and this is going to be really cool. We're going to be talking about five quick and effective strategies that you can immediately implement to increase your business profits. How's that? So stay tuned. This is going to be great. I do want to talk about a couple things. Kelsey, if you want to come on the screen. Yes, it's time. You can say hi.
Okay, hello.
You know what really sucks?
What?
Is that, well, it doesn't suck, but I've got my cup, right? Uh-huh. But I realized this is your cup.
Oh, look at that. Well, that's why I'm stuck with the golden retrievers today.
The puppies. Anyway, I love my dad, but this was Kelsey's Christmas present. So his only Christmas present other than coal. Anyway, hey, you know what? I wanted to talk about a couple things. I know you're going to talk about slamming, you know, likes and subscribing. Mm-hmm. That's all good stuff. But, and I don't usually talk about this, but I had just an incredible guest on. I know this guy. So over the last couple of weeks, like we've had Andre Norman on. If you don't know Andre Norman, check him out. He's really incredible. He was sentenced to 100 years in prison for some crimes. He got out in 14, completely changed his life around, and is just an incredible human being. We talked to Michael Peterson recently, who's a country music star. Anthony Melchiori from Hotels Impossible. But last night, I met with Frankie Marino, and we had a blast. We talked for 2.5 hours, and I didn't know this, but he's the number one hit maker of all time. He's behind Madonna. And so I know, like last night I said that, you know, check out his website. This is incredible. What a talented guy. A nice, awesome guy with an interesting story. So anyways, I don't usually, you know, talk about I know this guy, but guys, check it out. These people, they talk about their backstory, their failures, and everyone will tell them that they had major failures to get to their success. And usually they talk about motivational quotes, you know, what gets them through. So this is an e-com podcast. Check it out. There are some really cool e-com people on there as well, like Colin Campbell's over there. Kevin King has a great podcast interview. Lil Roberts. So there's some really good e-com people there too. So anyways, now I've taken up your time. Go ahead, talk.
Yeah, so that, just to be clear, that's I Know This Guy podcast. That's a completely different podcast. Yeah, so some of those episodes haven't aired yet. Right now we have Michael Peterson, but that's a different podcast. Yeah.
And check that out. Michael Peterson is an awesome guy.
All right. So for this episode, if you're new to the show, if you're joining us for the first time, you can put any questions, comments over in the comments section. We stream to YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn. If you missed it, you can always check or watch all the different episodes on the YouTube channel. It's Norman Farrar. I'll put the link in the comments. And yeah, smash that like button, share the video. That's right. And we've got some really exciting things planned for the podcast. Join our group. That's where everything is going to be happening. Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, e-commerce collective. We've got some contests to announce. We actually have a huge contest on Friday. So make sure you join.
Wait till you see this.
Yeah, you guys are going to like it. Yeah. So that's it for me. Let's get this thing going.
Okay. And I got to, you know, give a shout out to Marina and Mark and Simon and Facebook user. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Kelsey, you can tell me who that is. Rad and Dr. Kaz. Hey, I saw a couple of these people, Mark and Simon. I just came off of Seller Sessions podcast with Danny McMillan and Tim Jordan and Brandon Young. So I recognize a few of these names as well from that podcast. All right, awesome. All right, so we can get started here. Enough of all this other stuff. Let's get going. If you have any questions, throw it over in the comments section and we will get to it. If we don't get to it during the podcast, we will answer it as soon as we can. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the show. Here's the man. How are you, Kenny?
Rocking and rolling, Ian. Excited to be here.
Hey, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do?
All right. So, you know, my background, if you see the name Growth Amplifiers or Rock My Image, Amplify My Business, all those things kind of come back from my historic land of playing on stages, right? Ah. And performing in rock bands.
Actually
met my wife playing on a stage in Jacksonville Beach.
Really?
And then we procreated. And I have two little boys of my own who I'm really excited to be connecting with. It's great to see how you're connecting with your son and getting him involved. It's really awesome.
Well, when he does his job right.
And so now I've always had that creative background and just love connecting with people and having that sort of immersion experience. And so now I've pivoted through my career. And it's been some time now because I've went to school and graduated in 2005. So I'm showing a little bit of wisdom, right?
I was going to say you're a young pup.
For marketing, for marketing and multimedia. And now I'm a growth amplifier. So you see the little word growth? Whoop, there it is. Growth amplifier. And I work with advisors who serve business clients and help them amplify their business so that they can increase their leads, their sales, their profitability. And it's really what I love to do. It's taking the creative background of, you know, being able to look at things differently and kind of put some creativity behind it, and the business background of being able to put strategies, systems into place to get results. So that's kind of like how I got to where I'm at now. And one of the things that I really do appreciate is just being able to connect with people that have the attitude, expertise, and drive to follow and live their passion. My first passion was in music, but I ran into the wall because I had the passion. I knew what I loved to do, but I didn't have the right strategies and systems and knowledge to make that dream come alive. So that's
very good.
That's kind of one of the things that fuels me.
So I'm kind of curious, is there a specific niche or an area that you specialize in with the growth formula?
So one of the things that I've been focusing on is the five profit drivers.
Right.
Leads, number of leads that are coming into your door, whether they're leads or referrals. How many of those leads? That's number one. Mm-hmm. Lead generation. Number two, sales conversion. How many of those leads are converting into sales? Number three, number of transactions. How many transactions per customer on average are they having in the life cycle of the client? Four, the average price per transaction. In five, the profit margin. It's very simple. You can count them on one hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It almost seems so basic that you can really overlook it. I heard this once before. You know, it's the 80-20 rule. These are the 20% that give you 80% of the results. So when you put your focus and attention on improving your performance in these five profit drivers, everything else becomes easier. I've literally seen businesses double their profitability simply by just having some focus and attention on the drivers of the profits.
You know, that's interesting because I like talking about perception, perceived value. Mm-hmm. And if you do just a few things differently, how you can really increase sales and how you can increase your profit margin. These five, we've talked about it, the five steps that you have. If you add that to any of the things that, you know, we've talked about on the podcast before to build perception, I mean, it's just a double whammy. I think you could really escalate your sales. So we're going to get into that. I just wanted to say that Dr. Kaz, take the knife out of my back. I'm sitting here in rural Canada, snow. It's awful. And you're in a t-shirt. All right. So very, well, I'm in a t-shirt indoors, but anyways, I saw that and I went, all right. So let's get started here.
And I love your mug, by the way.
Oh yeah. The this one here, the accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got my dad mug with me.
Yeah. So let's talk about foundations, and we're going to go through each step one by one. So foundations is the very, it's the very first thing. So let's talk about that. Let's get into detail.
All right. So let's get into detail with, this is going to seem like a no brainer for some people who are tuning in. They're like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. kind of obvious, but that's one thing I'll say that's probably one of the biggest challenges that I face when I'm talking with people who are looking to grow is they say, oh, I already know this. I already know this information. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I already know this. Does that remind you of anything as a father?
Yeah.
Right. Our kids. Yeah. Especially when we're teens. Yeah. I kind of know everything. Right. As soon as we think we know everything is when we start limiting our growth. And sometimes it's the things that we know that can even prevent us from implementing them. So there's a distinction I'll put out real quick. There's what you know, then there's the actions that you take, right? And then there's the results that you get. So if you know something, that's great. But if you're not getting the desired result, it doesn't matter what you know. So just as you're listening in, think about that for yourself, because if you've heard of things, great. But if it's not working for you, if you're not getting the result you want, then you've got a gap. You have a gap. And typically it's in a blind side. Maybe you can't see the gap. Maybe you're unaware of it, right? So you've got to have an awareness of where your gaps are. And chances are you can't see it because you can't see the frame if you're in the picture. All right, so I just wanted to bring out that distinction because the first thing about the foundations is really to follow a framework to say, all right, look, if I talked about the five profit drivers earlier, right? You've got to assess how you're doing in each of these areas to know where you're at right now. And then you can calculate to say, if I change these each by even a little percentage, what would the transformation be to my business? How valuable would that be? And then when you can calculate that and see what that would do, you can really begin to understand, all right, that would be so much more valuable than doing the to-do list of busy work that I typically get caught up in, or all the distractions that I typically get caught up in. So really having focus and clarity on where your gaps are, and then it's really easy setting goals and following the framework to achieve the goals on a consistent basis.
So is that starting with a plan, a business plan?
Not quite a business plan, because a lot of the people that have helped out the most are established businesses mm-hmm. that are doing good now. They're not challenged by any means. And that's one of their challenges, is that they're not challenged. They think, oh, I'm good. But they have blind spots. They have untapped opportunity. And because they're comfortable, they're not looking to see where the opportunity is. You ever seen Rocky 3?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
4, 5, 6, 10.
Right. So Rocky 3 is the one where Mr. T and Hulk Hogan are in there. And Rocky kind of gets confident because he's the champion. And he loses the Eye of the Tiger. And then before you know it, someone with the Eye of the Tiger comes up and takes him down. And that can happen with, you know, businesses and entrepreneurs once they get out of being from in pain and they start like getting comfortable, they quit looking for what's possible. So it's just to answer your question, getting back full circle, is it a business plan? It is a plan. It's a plan, but it's really a growth plan to identify where the areas of opportunity are, where your bottlenecks are, and then what actions you can take strategically to improve them. Okay. And you know, I know you're in marketing and you're a genius in this arena.
I would not say that.
Right? But you're very sharp, right? And you're a strategist and you really kind of know what works and what doesn't work. A lot of times when a professional may go to a marketing agency or connect with another marketer, they too quick, far too often, jump into a tactic, right? Oh, I need to be doing a certain social media platform, or I need a podcast, or I need a some sort of membership course. They think about what is this tactic, but they haven't really stepped back to look at the bigger picture to see how that's going to affect their business. So that's what we need to do, is first come up with a clean slate, assess where you're at in each of the five profit drivers, get clarity on how you're doing. You can just simply do this by looking at each of them and giving yourself a score on a scale of 1 to 10. How strong and confident are you at each of these areas? For example, lead generation, right? Let's talk about leads for a second.
Okay. Oh, can I just go back to one quick thing?
Yes.
So we've got a lot of new people that are new to e-com, new to business. Mm-hmm. We've got intermediate sellers, and we have some really advanced sellers. And I just wanted to make a comment. Mm-hmm. Years ago, not now, I couldn't even see myself doing a push-up, but years ago, I was involved with the martial arts. And when I was a white belt, I absorbed. When I was a yellow, orange, green, when I got to green belt, I knew how to punch. I absolutely knew exactly how to punch until I realized I didn't. Then if you get to a black belt, that just starts. That first step is understanding you don't know anything and just doing it better. And right. you could look at that as at business too. You might think you know how to create the perfect Amazon listing or the perfect Facebook ad. But if you don't continually learn, if you don't continually get educated, if you don't go to people who know more than you, then you're always just going to be thinking you know it all. You know it, and you'll never be able to get past that hurdle. And you'll see other people pass, and you'll be wondering why I'm not getting to that level. And you've really got to come in to it with an open mind. That's what I think.
Right.
So anyways, I just wanted to say that because we are talking about foundation, and there's a lot of people on here that are very experienced. But let's go back and let's talk about these five principles.
Okay, so let's take that first step. So we're looking at these five drivers of profitability. And why profits? Because if you don't have profits, you can have passion, but you can run into a brick wall and not be able to grow, right? Money doesn't drive me. It's not my number one thing. I'm more into passion. But I realized kind of the hard way, you've got to have a plan in order to be profitable. There's a lot of starving artists. My first passion in music, we were playing basically to pay because all the costs to travel the gear around for the equipment to put our own merchandise, we were barely being able to feed ourselves. So we didn't have the plan to be profitable. So that's why we're focusing on profits. Anyway, five drivers, right? So the first one is really, do you have a plan right now that you're focused on clarity, your goals? What is your number one most important action that you're really focused on achieving? Is it written out? Do you have actions defined in order to achieve the goal? Is there a timeline? Are you communicating with your team? Are you achieving the goal? Are you making progress? Very basic, but normal. What percentage do you think of people, if you ask that question, could give themselves a high 10 out of 1 to 10 score?
Very, very few.
Very, very few. I've held a lot of masterminds, workshops, doing a lot of speaking engagements, and we'll do that sometimes is get people to just rate, and a majority of people are coming in at around a 5 or a 4. And let me tell you, these are entrepreneurs and business owners of all different backgrounds. Some just starting, some have been in business for decades, but they don't have clear goals defined. And it's not hard to do, but again, there's the difference between knowing and doing, right? So just, it's a self gut check. I've got an action planner that I write mine down in every day, every evening. I take a pulse to see, am I getting, am I focused? Am I making progress?
Very cool.
So if you do the self-assessment on goal setting, from setting and achieving the goals, from getting them what you want, on a scale of 1 to 10, think in your mind or write it down on paper, how would you currently rate yourself? And then think, what is one thing that you could do to improve that score even by one or two numbers? Because all those small little changes will lead to big results.
Now, that book, The Profit Planner, that you just put up, or your goal planner. Okay, mm-hmm. So did you just buy that off of Amazon? Or
this is a Rockstar Professionals 90-Day Action Planner. It is one that I produced with my company.
Oh, okay.
And so this is on Amazon, and this is something that we will give to people that we're working with, because we've continually found that it's not people getting the knowledge. A lot of times people already know these things, but they're not being consistent enough. They're letting too many distractions take them off course. They're trying to do too many things at the same time. So kind of reining people in to stay focused is really how they're able to say, all right, if I've really put focus on this, I can move it forward. So that's what this action planner is. And that's what I would recommend. And again, just to give you a kind of like a quick glimpse into it, mm-hmm. In the beginning of the day, it's to, you know, define what is your plan for the day. And at the end of the day, the beginning of the day and the end of the day, it's like, what did I get done? How can I improve? What's the plan for the next day? But really staying focused.
That is what my dad's taught me when, you know, growing up. He ran multiple organizations. And one of the things he did, and you'd see him at night, and he would just finish up his lists, get ready for the day so he could go in fresh and know exactly what to do. And I do that, Kelsey knows. Every night, I make sure that I get my list done, ready, organized for the next day.
So that would be a strategy, number one of the five strategies we're talking about. It's very simple. It's very basic. But write out your goal that would really make an impact in your business. Write it down, track it, and stick to it.
Okay. That's number one.
Number one.
Drum roll, number two.
All right. Number two. All right. So this is going to seem basic. A lot of these are basic. But again, we're looking at what are some things you could do to improve it. So even if you're already doing it, can you improve it even by a small percentage? If you take five actions and just improve each area by even a small percentage, you're going to see result. So the second thing we're talking about, it's one of the drivers, is lead generation. And this is the strategy is to always have an offer. Always have an offer. And I'm going to share an example of somebody I was talking to. It was a business advisor, a CPA. And he's been on LinkedIn, and he's been trying to grow his LinkedIn client base. And he's like, man, I've spent so much time on LinkedIn. I've got all these blogs that I've written. I've been doing all these interviews. I post all the time. I'm not getting anything from LinkedIn. I really feel like I'm wasting my time. I've even hired, you know, different companies to do things and use different software. And I said, well, all right, well, what's your offer? What's the process? He said, well, I post on people's pages and I write my posts and they can go to my blog posts. I'm like, well, do you have an offer? I'm like, yeah, I have my services. You know, if they want a consultation, they can call me. I'm like, you know, that's if they're wanting to hire you, but could you create an offer of value that would get someone to raise their hand? Mm-hmm. Very simple, very basic, but a lot of people don't have that.
So give us an example.
So for example, for him, I was like, well, you're posting your blog articles on LinkedIn and you're talking about, you know, ways that people can save on their taxes, right? Could you create a simple download of something, a checklist that would get people to raise their hand and then say, hey, did you like that article? Would you like a checklist of some ideas that you could use to save money on your taxes? And that will differentiate. That becomes, hey, this person's actually interested in what I have to say. And now maybe I can guide them seamlessly and subtly to have a conversation on how I may be able to help them with their taxes. Obviously, they have an interest in it, but he just was not putting the offer. So if you don't have offers on your website, if you're not putting some sort of offer, even in your social media posts or in your videos, it could prevent people from taking an action and raising their hand.
You know, go ahead. I interrupted.
No, that was pretty much it. Like, even if you're doing a speaking engagement, I've seen so many people do speaking engagements or podcasts or, webinars, and they'll give a lot of information, but then they don't give something that gets people to raise their hand and say, hey, look, I'm kind of interested in what you had to say. I thought it was kind of helpful. Is there something that you can get someone to take the first step?
I'm horrible at that. But anyway, you know, about LinkedIn, though, for example, mm-hmm. You can put a post there, but messaging, we get a lot of messages about, lead generation. But one of the things that I find reaching out, if you're just going to go and click that button, make a connection, we look at it and we just either yes or no. You know, if it catches our eye, yes, you connect. If not, no. If somebody messages us and just takes the time to say, hey, I checked out the profile, wondering if you could either help me out with this question or just something. It could be a statement, but at least it's a message and you go, wow, this person, and it's not an automated message, you know, mm-hmm. but you took 2 seconds showing that you want to connect. Man, I've made more connections and we answer every single person that sends us a message, and it'll, you know, oh yeah, that would be great. Let's connect. Let's set up a meeting. You know, and it's such a small thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You bring up a good point. So how many times have you gotten a connection? Someone wants to connect with you and then you never hear from them ever again. They didn't put any sort of message of why they want to connect in the first place.
Yep.
And then you connect and you never hear from them again. And there's a lot of people kind of misusing the platforms. And that's one thing is to really think, and you're really making a good segue, by the way, into the next step. So this is the number 2, right? Was lead generation. Always have an offer. It doesn't need to be a service offer or you've got to buy something offer. Just have something of value. Whether it be a conversation or mm-hmm. something that you could provide somebody or a download, just getting somebody to maybe take a small little step, show a small little action so that you know that they're a little bit interested in what you have to offer.
Right.
Segue number 3. Number 3 is really have, you know, the follow-up conversation. You know, you've got to be able to continue the conversation.
Yep.
So if you're beginning with the end in mind, you know, kind of like where you want to guide people to, whether that's to do business with or to build a relationship with, strategic partner of sorts, or to create an audience member, you've got to be able to think ahead, reverse engineer your plan, and then put it into action. There's so much noise out there driving for people's attention. If you don't have a plan that's mapped out, it's guiding people to the next step, chances are that they're not going to just find it. So thinking about what is the next step. And the third of the pillars, by the way, is sales conversions, right? So this is a bottleneck that I see a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs have, where they have leads. They're like, I've gotten all these leads coming in, but their leads are not turning into customers. Mm-hmm. So we got to think of a way to increase the likelihood of getting a lead to become a customer. Simple strategy. you probably heard of it, maybe even do it, but could you get better at it? Is offer a downsell offer. Are you familiar with the term?
Oh yeah.
All right. I would bet money on it, I'm sure. So when you hear the term downsell, how do you interpret it?
Well, I look at it as if somebody's coming into my e-commerce site, mm-hmm. and they're buying a product, and I try to upsell. So I'll say, hey, you know, since you bought this, if you want to save shipping, buy one more. Or if they do that and they like it, well, why don't you get into the subscription model? If they say no, then you can bring them back down and say, well, what? How about this? And then you can cross promote as well. So it's up, down, and cross.
Right. So there's upsells, downsells, and cross sales. But a lot of people haven't taken the time to really craft a downsell offer and implement it and test it. So I'll give you an example. I was talking with an attorney, and he had been having all these consultations with people, and he was trying to sell my big package of, as a business attorney, mm-hmm. a big package of, you're going to do all these different services with me. And that's what he was trying to make as his offer, right? And it's great because he doesn't want to have a bunch of smaller clients. So I understand that that's one of his goals, but at the same time, people weren't taking him up on the offer. So he said, what if you created a downsell offer, a lighter version, just to get someone from being, you know, interested into action and turn them from being a prospect into a customer? If you got them to take even a small step, he's like, well, I don't want to have a whole bunch of small clients. Like, you aren't necessarily getting them to do that. You're just getting them to take this first step, which then opens up the possibility of them continuing that journey. And you can decide if you want to continue the journey with them, right? If you can still make sure that the next step is your offer, but if you can't get them to take the first step, then it's not going to matter.
I can give you an e-com example. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll give you another example as well, but e-com. So for me, I sell soap. I sell it by subscription. Mm-hmm. So how do I get people to do it? First of all, if I'm advertising, I'll go up to the cost of the soap to get that first subscriber. Because once they buy it once, hopefully they're going to come back and buy it again. The downsell for us is it's a no-brainer. And we get the customer's email address, but it's get a free bar. It's a sample bar. Pick your scent and we'll send it out to you. I mean, it's our cost. There's no shipping. We're going to take the hit. And then when they try it out, now we know they're coming back. Now, on a service or on another basis, so on a social media, let's say you're trying to grow your network.
Right.
Not a service or not a product. So here's something else that we do, and we've done it for years, is that if somebody comes over to us, we'll engage in conversation. But if we don't know, we'll try to help the person out. Hey, oh, you know what? We can't do this. We don't specialize, but I'm going to make an, I did this last night. I'm going to make you an introduction to the person that I know. Well, all of a sudden, this person becomes either in your network. You've just done them a favor. You've not asked for any money. And guess what? They're going to add you to their network. They're going to remember this. And they're most likely going to be a fan or an influencer or a brand ambassador or whatever it is, because you've helped them out. And this happened, and I know one of the people probably are listening on this podcast right now, but they got a message from me introducing a buddy of mine that has a new technology to help them out. You know?
And so that is, it's, you know, taking an action to turn prospects and getting them to move along further in the relationship with you and in their journey. easier to know something, and then it's another thing to do it. So just like we've done with the foundations, on a scale of 1 to 10, think right now, how would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to turning leads into customers? And just give yourself an honest grade, and then think, what's one action that I could take to improve that score, even by a small percentage, even by 1 point? Just one thing that you could do. So if you don't have an offer, you can create one. If you have one, what's a way that you can improve it? Are there different downsells that you might want to look at different points in different areas of your business? Because you might have it for one place, but it may not be in another, right? So
yes, yeah, so what I was going to say, I guess this is probably one of the major factors.
Mm-hmm.
But you can give all the advice that you want. You could go in and sit down across the table with your clients. You could tell them all of these. So we're number three right now. But if the person has great intentions, that's all they'll ever have.
Right.
Great intentions. They have to put things into action. If you learn out of these five steps right now, we're at number three. There's the
action.
There we go. But if you put one of just get one going, that's going to get you to places where 90% of your competition are not going to do. They're not going to do anything action oriented. So, and by the way, just on that note, because I like to hear myself talk.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm joking. But when I do go to events, and especially when you're getting bombarded with a ton of information, you know, like you go to trade shows, or if you go to, you know, just live events, virtual summits, you got like 20 people talking to you. And the first person, you go, wow, this is really great. And you start writing all this stuff down. At the end of every night, I do this religiously, is I'll take the three action points while the person's done. Like, so we're waiting, we're going on break. I'll go, okay, here's action step 1, 2, and 3. Boom, that's that for that speaker. Next. Then I'll just summarize it at the end, and I'll take three of all of the speakers, 3 points, and I'll make sure that I'll send it over to Vandana, who's my assistant. And Vandana, you got to check this out. Boom, 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 boom. These three things, and she'll get the plans going into action, you know. But if you don't do it, I mean, how many people? There's a bunch of people on the call right now. How many people have listened to a virtual summit or gone to an event, said, wow, this is great information, and then because there's so much information, thank you, you never put it into action?
That you're hitting the nail on the head. And that's why some of these foundations are actually the most important things. People are looking for silver bullets and magic little systems to do these amazing things, and they haven't checked the box on some of the basics. And so before you go and invest and put a lot of time and energy into things that could be more involved, look at these basic things, make sure that you're doing them. And then you can work on slowly but surely adding one new idea at a time, moving it forward, right? But I do like that, because at the end, these are five things. I typically say, what's out of the five different things, if you graded yourself from 1 to 10, what's the weakest area? What's the place that needs the most attention? And then start there first.
Great. Right? So, Kelsey, do we have any questions, comments? Sorry, you're technically challenged. Nope.
He's just there for the young crowd.
Yeah. No. All right. So I'm going to curl up in the fetal position any second now. So Kels, try that and come back. But anyways, I guess we'll get to the questions a bit later. Let's go on to, so we've talked a bit about sales. Let's talk about number four.
All right, number four, right? This is the no-brainer again. We're trying to make it easy today. Five things, mm-hmm. not anything complicated, not anything you got to buy a lot of things for, just five little ideas. And this is transactions. And it's really thinking about how can you increase the number of transactions per customer. Subscriptions, obviously a great thing. We talked about it just a moment ago, but it can come into play here, is having an upsell offer. Having an upsell offer. So easy. But again, there's a lot of people that just don't have it in their business. Mm-hmm. And other people think, well, it doesn't really apply to my business. But everyone can apply a different strategy to upsell, right? And here's another thing too that I've discovered, is sometimes it's not that people don't know. It's they feel like they don't want to sell somebody something or be too assertive or push people away.
It's annoying.
I don't want to be that person, right?
Yeah.
And that can be very limiting. I was talking to one of my clients who's in the health and wellness arena. And they're like, you know, we just don't do that with our sales. And my coaching background, I'm like, well, why not? Tell me why that is. She's like, well, we don't want to come across being too salesy or too pushy or too assertive. I'm like, interesting. I'm like, you do really believe that the people love your service and what you offer, right? She said, oh yeah, people just, they love and rave. We got plenty of reviews and they come to you asking for these things, right? Oh yeah, they come in. Well, if you have something that you believe that they would appreciate and value, do you think they'd be offended if you asked them if they'd want it? No, I think that would be fine. Well, that's what you're looking to do here. Huh. Paradigm shift.
Yep.
Small paradigm shift. And so just being able to put out the offer and say, hey, this is something that you said you liked. Would you like to supersize it?
That's if, all. McDonald's does it all the time.
And if they say, no, thank you, that's okay. But if they say, you know what? Yes. Studies have shown that a majority of people are a good percentage. I think it's more of a third. Will take an upsell offer when asked at the point of transaction.
I'm one.
I know I do it too. Especially like, and sometimes even if with like big purchases, I bought a roof recently. I'm spending, you know, over $10,000 on a goofy roof. And now when they're doing their upsell, like here's another little thing you could do that might help your roof last a little bit longer. It's another $1,000.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Sure. Let's do it all. I want to go cheap now. And some people want the VIP, right?
Yeah.
People want the higher level of things. So think about that. Scale of 1 to 10. When you're thinking about number of transactions, what's something that you could do? Well, how would you rate yourself focusing on increasing the number of transactions per customer? Do you offer an upsell? Do you market to your existing customers? Give yourself a score. One being, I don't pay attention to it. 10's like I'm the master, and 5 being about average. And then think, what's just one thing you could potentially do to prove that score, even by a percentage?
And it, you know, if you are worried about that, because that was a challenge of mine too when I started into e-com, is, you know, these annoying pop-ups that will come up, you know. So one of the things you can do is you get an ad, let's say it's in Shopify. So you've got that annoying up, down, cross, you know, app. And then you've got your abandoned cart app. So see if your abandoned carts go up, you know, and you'll be surprised. They're not going to be any difference, maybe very, very few differences. And then, like, I was talking to, I think it was Charles Livingston, who is a master at this stuff. And he was talking to me about his upsell, you know, the funnel that they have. And he takes a product at the time, this goes back a couple years, I think it was $50 or $60. He triples the average order value. By the time somebody rings out, it's triple.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Mm.
Just by asking.
just by asking.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kels, you there?
All right.
All right. Hey.
Okay. So I'm just using the laptop audio now. Okay. I'm not sure what's going on. I think my audio port is something, I don't know, but we do have some questions. Yep. So let's see, from Darwin.
Can't hear you. Joking.
All right. So what is good practice when a person visits your Shopify store as far as ad pop-up, coupon, or action on the main page? Do you have any recommendations?
Don't give out stuff that's crap. So if you want this to work, just from my experience, is that if I have clients that say, you know, oh, it's not working. Well, yeah, why would somebody want a PDF on this crap? You know, if people are, especially if they're going to give their email, you have to think of why would you give your email out? You don't, like, people are guarded, you know, with their emails right now. You have to really make that offer. That's something that they want. So for me, people like free. They don't like PDFs. Well, yeah, I shouldn't say that. I mean, they do, but that could be something that you deliver as a value added that shows up later on. And hey, thank you so much for buying our products. Oh, here are 10 of the key, you know, recipes or whatever it is about our product. Thought you might like it. To learn more, visit our blog. But if you're giving away just a PDF, people are just gonna. If you're giving away a product and you, or it could be a service of some sort, but if I'm giving away a product, they get it. I get their email address. If I get them as a client, and this is the rinse and repeat. And I just saw something from, I think, Simon, but if you get that client, so now you've got them, you're going to have them for a long time until you screw up. You know, or until, you know, they find something way better, or until they stop using it. So it's so easy to retain a client. And what I found, I don't know about you, but people have lists. People get these great lists. And so many people never, ever target their clients for repeat business. Mm. Crazy.
It's, you know, I even was talking to, it's completely unrelated industry, but talking to a plumber. I said, how's business going?
You know, down the drain.
Like, down the drain. Said it was, you know, a little bit challenging. And I'm just asking him some basic questions. Do you market to your current customers? He's like, no, I don't need to. If they have a clog, then they'll come in and find me. I'm like, well, that's one way of looking at it, but do you think other people, other plumbers, are marketing to those same people? You're not staying top of mind, right? So even just staying top of mind. But Norm, I want to go back to what you mentioned just a moment ago in regards to like a pop-up, right? So something to get people excited. I think that's a great example. You want an amplified offer, right? Something that's just not ho-hum. Here's something that you can get that you probably wouldn't want anyway, right? What's something that's exciting? Can you get them to take an action? Maybe they've got to fill out a certain form, mm-hmm. or watch a certain video before they get the freebie so that they're showing they're a little bit more qualified. But investing in getting a new customer is worth it. If you know the lifetime value of a customer and you could say, hey, look, I could continue to build this customer and their relationship through time. But the other thing that goes along with that is the people who are marketing to their existing customers with newsletters, right? Would you read your own newsletter, honestly?
I would mine.
Yeah, I think yours, you've got
some. Mine doesn't suck.
You've got personality. I don't know how many newsletters I've seen through my days, but a majority of them are just like, oh my gosh. And I've been guilty of it in the past where I'm like, I'm just kind of like following what I think I should be putting there. Not making it entertaining, not making it interesting, not making it valuable. People don't want to see that, right? So whether it's a pop-up offer or the remarketing, newsletting, it's got to be interesting, entertaining, provide value.
Right. Yeah, just looking at some of these comments. But the other thing too, it doesn't, I mean, one of the things that we found, let's say that we want to build traffic or, you know, get people to buy the product, like you can subtly put it in the back of their head, like create a contest mm-hmm. and have that contest where it's a $500 gift certificate. It's drawn once a month, blah, 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 blah. People buy the product. All you need to do is tag us in your Instagram account. Now you're building up, you know, that social proof. You're getting people to buy in. They're probably brought, like, to enter it, you've got to buy the product. And there's value there without really giving that much value. If all these people are going to be going out and tagging you and you're getting all this proof, guess how much? Like $500 is nothing when you get $5,000 worth of social proof and sales back.
Right. It's about the excitement. It's about making it interesting.
Right. So Kels, more questions?
Yeah. So for this one, I'm going to have to bleep one word, but it's about goal setting. And so goals, sure, not doing too much, sure. What do you do when poop happens in an instant pile of more to do? A national lockdown, homeschooling, two teenagers, stock limits, longer lead times. Like, what do you do in this time?
So I like taking a step back, right? And this, it was coming up on 9 months ago when things hit the fan for the pandemic. I'm a father of two boys who are 6 and 9. And 1 week I'm down in Orlando going to PodFest, a great convention on podcasting.
I never heard of it. I got to go there next time.
Yeah, I think they're doing it virtual here in March again. They just broke the Guinness Book of World Records for attendance of a virtual summit in the fall. Anyway, thanks for the plug.
Yeah.
I was down there and then I come back thinking my kids are going to go to school the next week because they were on spring break.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm home being the parent and trying to homeschool with running my business and trying to homeschool two kids with online things that weren't working when the teachers didn't know what they were doing. All my clients, my business coach and marketing advisor, all my clients are scrambling around not knowing what they're doing. And they're calling me, freaking out. I'm freaking out. Everyone's freaking out. Long story short, I'm just saying I can relate. Poop does happen. And when that happens, you've got to find a way to take a step back, get things in perspective, and really prioritize what is the most important thing to focus on right now. There's a to-do list, but is it all high priority? Chances are not. I like a little system that I've learned where you grade things on like an A, B, C, D, and E. So with A, it's like absolute. You absolutely got to do this. It's a key priority, mission critical. B, you better do it, but it's not mission critical. It can get done a little bit later. C, something you could do, but you could also not do it. It wouldn't be the end of the world. And chances are there's a lot of C's on a lot of people's to-do lists. D, something you should delegate. It's like, this needs to be done, but I don't necessarily need to do it. I can find a virtual assistant. I can hire somebody to help me. Yeah. Somebody to help me out to do this. It needs to be done, but maybe I don't need to do it with my time. And then E, eliminate. Maybe it was on my to-do list and I just moved past it. Things are different now and I no longer need to do it. So take a moment to like really prioritize. And then once you have A, B, C, D, and E, right? You can get rid of the E so you don't have to worry about them anymore. Delegate the D. So now you just have A, B, and C. Focus on the A's, but then put A1, A2, A3, prioritize them, and then just focus. Keep focused.
Right.
So it's easier said than done. It's simple. But if you did that, you'd feel like you're in control. You're focusing on the most important things and you're really going to take the actions you need to move the most important things forward. Simplify.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. Okay, Kels.
So that's it for the questions, I believe.
Okay.
We have some nice plumber puns from Simon.
Yeah, I saw Simon's.
One just came in from Darwin again. Yep. What is your opinion of staying focused on moving one idea at a time, not spreading too much, but also not falling behind, keeping your eye on new opportunities?
It's a good question.
I'd say you're asking, for me, you're asking the wrong guy.
No, I think the one of the biggest challenges that I see is people trying to do too many things at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's been my journey's Achilles heel. I'm a visionary. I'm a creative person. I'm an amplifier. I like getting in, doing a lot of new things. I like having the fun, excitement, variety is the thing. But it comes at a cost. And if you're trying to do too many things at the same time, you're going to spread yourself too thin. It's not going to be effective. So how do you handle that? What a technique that I like is to step back again, prioritize, and then you've got to get the most important things up and running and effective and efficient. And then this is really harder to do is keep the integrity of your commitment to that one thing until that is solid. Once it's landed, it's solid. You could then work on adding the next thing. And I know there's people that are like, oh, you could try to do, you need to do all these different things to get a lot of traction. But if you can't get them all working and you can't get traction with them all at the same time, then it may not be to your benefit. But if you did one thing really well and got that rocking, then you can move to the next thing.
And we see that with too many shiny objects, right? So mm-hmm. There's always something new. There's all 10 different virtual summits. There's 1,000 different podcasts, you know, and what you need to do, like for us, is I tell people, find a person, like if you're listening to somebody, if you're joining a course, or if you're going into a mastermind, find somebody that suits your personality. Don't go to 10. You don't have to go to 10, especially if you're starting out. You're just going to get killed. You know, pick a podcast or two. Don't pick 1,000. You know, just find something that suits you and then move forward. Now, I want to go back to something Simon was talking about and the beauty of what we have. Everybody on this podcast, they're entrepreneurs. Now, different levels of entrepreneurs. And that's my Skype going off, which I thought was turned off. Boy, that's professional. Let me just turn. And it is on Do Not Disturb. You didn't hear it?
Nope.
Maybe it was in my head.
It didn't happen.
It did it really. Okay, guys, what I just said. But anyways, we are all entrepreneurs. And the beauty from us than everybody else, and it is going off again, just a sec. And you can't hear it, right?
No.
So, you know, being able to turn on a dime, to be able to look at an opportunity and say whether you want to move forward with it. And then if you do want to move forward, let's say it's an Amazon store, understanding it, get a course, get a good course, you know, or join a good mastermind and understand it, become an expert. And then what you can do is if you do see these, like, let's say it's an Amazon listing opportunity, a PPC opportunity, external traffic, driving some extra sales, or doing an e-commerce to, you know, instead of or with your Amazon listing, you can delegate that. You can run multiple brands, but the key is that you have a plan, just like what you're saying, mm-hmm. having that plan. Finding a good person or, you know, a good VA or multiple VAs that have expertise in different areas and work with those people. Your brand is only as good. If you're trying to go get somebody for $1 an hour and you want to sell your company later on, you're going to get $1 an hour performance. You know, I'd rather pay a much higher dollar, get somebody that's very good at what they do. And, you know, grow with them. Mm-hmm. But coming back, I'm long-winded with this, but we are entrepreneurs. We can turn on a dime. We can cut that listing at any time if it sucks. If we're not getting sales, cut it. Get something else up there. It doesn't take long. And always have that plan B. You know, find that other product. And if you, knowing that if that product isn't going to work, cut it, get this other one up.
I love it.
Yeah. We haven't talked about your number five, though, which I think is, you know, pretty important.
Yeah. So number five. So we've talked about the four other items. Number five is really about profits. And it's an important part. If you don't know the profit margins in your business, you can work yourself really hard and not get nearly as far as you want to. But the strategy, the tip is stop discounting and raise prices. Stop discounting. People sometimes look, if I'm doing a 10% discount, you could be cutting your profits in half and you wouldn't know it if you don't know your real profits. If you're not looking at the cost of goods sold, if you haven't really done the math, like, oh, it's only 10%. It's like, oh, that was all the profits you had in that offer. I knew a lady that had an e-commerce store and she just liked to do the discounts because it get people to buy, but she was wondering why she just wasn't being able to generate a lot of money from her store. And we looked at what she was offering and it's like, well, you're discounting away all your profits. I mean, you've got to realize that. And she's like, well, you know, but then I'm getting them as customers. I'm like, but then you still offer continued discounts. She's like, well, it gets them to buy, but at what profit? You're not making money. So then what do we do? So we need to raise the prices by adding more value with things that don't cost money. Perceived value. It can be experience. It could be different things that you offer that complement your product, but doesn't come at the cost and take away your profitability. Again, if you didn't see it earlier, I'm not all about just profits. I'm about the experience. I'm about relationships. But we've got to pay attention to the bottom line. Because if you don't have the profits, you're not going to be able to really bring your passion to more people. So that's the fifth step there. And I just want, you know, if you've been doing the assessments, think on a scale of 1 to 10 right now when it comes to your profit margins, do you look at them? Do you know what they are? Do you know where your margins are? And then give yourself a scale of rating on a scale of 1 to 10 and think, what's just one thing that I could do that might be able to move that just one digit higher? Just make a small minor improvement, and that can make a big difference on the results that you see from your business. You get more money in, you invest back in your business, you can provide a better experience, everything becomes better.
You talked about discounting, and if we take a look at an Amazon product listing, a lot of people use the coupon stack, mm-hmm. right? And so you'll give away 3, 5, 10, 25. And if you take a look at a lot of listings, you'll see that people are killing themselves. You're giving away if you buy multiple, so if you buy 3, you get 5% off. If you buy 5, you get 10% off. If you buy, 15, you get 15% off. 25, you get 25% off. And at what cost? I always look at those and I, going back to my clients, I'll say, look, give 3 at 2.5% off or 2% off. Give 5 at 3. Give 10 at 4. You don't have to, like, I don't want to go up past 10%. And that's if they buy 25 or something. People will buy it because they're getting something at a lower rate. That's it. You know, it doesn't have to be 10, 20, 25. And I have seen 25% off. I'm going, oh my God, how are they doing this? And the other thing, like, I love perception. You can create perception without increasing the price of your product. Mm. You could change the bottle. You can change the color. You can change the material. You can change a package and just make it, instead of a tuck box, a cardstock, make it into a micro corrugate. And for about a nickel more, you can probably put another, well, let's just say if your product's selling at $20, you can get it up to $30 because you spent an extra nickel or quarter. Sometimes it's free. So it's so product cannibalization sucks. And if you're just trying to get sales and you're getting a penny a sale, that sucks. You got to sell so much. Why not stand out from the crowd? Take a chance. It takes about 2 weeks to really notice the difference. But all of a sudden, if your listing, your images, your the quality of the copy, your A+ pages, and this is for Shopify as well, if it meets and people think it's got high perceived value, man, you know, the world's your oyster, because you can get a ton of extra cash in your pocket.
What I like is, you can't, it's not going to work for everyone. But for those that may have like a kind of like a focus of what they're selling, is trying to build a community around it and really working to elevate the brand perception. One of the presentations that I've done in the past is on branding. And I typically will have like these two pictures of jeans up on the screen. And I'm like, can you tell the difference between these two pair of jeans? And then people are like, well, one's a little bit bluer. One's a little, has wrinkles on it. Like, no. One sells for $20. One sells for $1,000.
Yeah.
Right? Now, here's the interesting thing. If someone took the $1,000 pair of jeans and discounted it to $20, would the same people want it? Probably not. It's, so there's a lot to be said for you know, really putting some time behind cultivating a brand, a community, and what you can do when you're working to do that. And if you're getting into like really building your business, then that's something that you can work towards through time. It's not a quick strategy, but it's something that you could work through in time and really attract the right type of buyers. Because you mentioned something just a moment ago that made me think of that, is you can sell a lot, but if you don't have the right buyers, then you could be selling a lot just to be churning. Mm-hmm. Someone else can have just a few buyers, but they have the right ones and they're making out. So
that's right. And it's funny because if you think of retail, if you put that $1,000 pair of jeans in the front of the store, psychology, like this is just the sales psychology, is that you put the most expensive at the in the front of the store and you put the least expensive at the back. So people think, wow, these look as good as those. I'll buy these. We do that. So we've got like these cooking utensils that are $224. On the same first page listing, it's the same company that sells it for $127. And then we have the exact same knife that's $34.97.
Mm.
So you can get either one. They're all basically the same knife, but the 224 is, oh, I want the one with the wooden case. Oh, I want this one that has, you know, the, and then this one's in the clamshell or whatever, you know, right. But sales psychology, they're entering your store. They're entering your Amazon store. Put your first one up top. Oh, I can't afford that. Oh, but I can afford this, you know?
Mm. So it's a great strategy. So there's the five drivers. Again, looking to do what you could do to increase leads, turn those leads into customers with your sales conversion, the number of transactions per customer, the average dollar per transaction per customer, and the profit margin, increasing the profit margins. Being able to assess where you're at now, right? We did the scale of 1 to 10, and then determine where's the weakest link. Where's, if I just improved one area, what would that do for my business? And you can calculate that. In fact, that's one of the things I have in my offers is to, I've got a profit growth calculator that helps kind of calculate that and just kind of run numbers for people so they could see, what if I made some changes in these areas, what would that do to my bottom line? And then, as you mentioned, you got to put it into action. Uh-huh. So if all you did by listening in was just to get an idea of either something new that you hadn't heard of before or considered, or B, something that you already know, but you could still improve because everyone can continually improve, then define what that is and then commit to yourself. You're going to make the time that you've spent here tuning in to put it into action and then get the result from it.
All right. That's fantastic. And Kels, just following up, any other questions?
One question from Rad. How do we get in contact with you, Kenny?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. Well, there's two websites that I'd like to promote.
Go ahead.
The first one is Growth Amplifiers. You can see my Growth Amplifiers. That's my podcast, and I connect with business owners who are looking to amplify their business, and they share some things that they learned on their journey. And Norm's definitely going to have to be on the podcast in the relatively near future. So maybe you'll check him out on there. So that's growthamplifiers.com. Now, I do have an offer that it's a free offer, by the way. Remember I talked about free offer? If people are interested in what you have to say, they could raise their hand. You go to findmyprofits.com. That's findmyprofits.com. You go there, and if you put in your information, you can get a free copy of my book, Amplify Business Breakthroughs in 45 Minutes. And this is containing some of the ideas, some of the strategies to increase the five profit drivers we talked about today. My goal is to build relationships with other rockstar professionals who are serving a higher purpose, following their passion. So that's findmyprofits.com.
Very good. That's a great value. So check it out. Anybody listening right now on the podcast can get a free copy of the book. So Kels, yeah, you're just putting up the, yep, there we go. Find My Profits.
Love that.
There we go. Yep. All right. So Kenny, thank you so much. We've got your contact information. We'll have you on again. And who knows, maybe you'll see me on your podcast. That would be great.
Definitely.
All right, sir. So stick around for a bit, and we'll talk to you after I sign off.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, I'll see you later. All right, everybody. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Kelsey, where are you, sir?
All right, I'm right here.
Great.
Hopefully my audio is still working.
It's working. There we go.
Okay, perfect. All right. Let's see. Simon's got to go. Thank you. Thank you for watching, Simon. So you might have noticed for our Facebook page, not the group, we've changed it to Lunch with Norm podcast. So if you're looking for the Norman Ferrari, a.k.a. the beard guy, Lunch with Norm, shorten it a little bit, Lunch with Norm podcast. Make it nice and easy for people to see.
So I can spell it.
Yeah. Let's see. So if you guys can write a review, we can read any. If you post a review for us, we'll read the review on here. So we've got today's review. Let's see. This is going to be from Evelyn Lumi. Highly recommended. Thanks to Norm's podcast, I've discovered so many useful people and information on my journey building e-commerce, especially Amazon, but not only. Also, what I like about the podcast is that Norm is active himself on Amazon, and he shares very valuable tips using his own experiences. Feels most like one-on-one coaching.
Evelyn. Oh, very good. Thanks, Evelyn.
Thank you, Evelyn. So again, if you guys write a review for us on Apple or our Facebook page, we're going to go ahead and read it for you guys. And we've got really big things planned for the Lunch and Norm podcast.
Crazy. We've got
monthly contests happening. We've got a big contest starting Friday, which is super excited. So if you want, if you're
interested. You don't have to pay for it.
That's right. I might even enter myself. I would go to the Facebook group. And please, if you're joining our Facebook group, please answer the questions. There's three questions. They're very simple questions. If you don't answer the questions, you're not going to get in. It's like, where do you sell? How long have you sold? They're very simple questions. But we're just trying to filter out.
You
people.
Know what? This is really cool. And I know everybody's probably dropping off right now, but it's like my coffee policy. Hey, Sharon. now I'm going to turn red. It's like my coffee policy. So I have a 5-page coffee policy. How to make a cup of coffee. Why is it important? Getting the buy-in. And, you know, everybody, there was a group of 23 of us that came in, sat around a table and tried to figure out why we should write this coffee policy. And at the end of the day, if you can't follow a coffee policy, then you can't follow, you know, these more important policies. We want engagement. We want people to engage in our group. We have no use for people that just want to be in there and click, you know, that you're in a group. We want to talk. We want to learn. We want you to help, you know, answering questions. That's what it's all about. So that's why if you can't answer the three questions that are pretty easy, then, you know, you're not going to engage with anybody. And that's so important for us.
Yeah. So answer the questions, get in the group. And yeah, we've got some people asking about influencers and what are the best social media platforms. Mm-hmm. So that's something, if anyone has the answer to, you can go ahead and answer that. I believe Yalcin is asking that in the group right now. And also, what was I going to say?
Sharon saw the okay. I was wondering the Viking hat.
Yeah. So Clubhouse, if you guys, we have a survey up right now checking who's on Clubhouse. We might be doing like an extra bonus episode too with that in the future as well. So that's something to look forward to. But that's it. That's it for now.
You're done.
I'm done.
Okay, very good. So this Friday, we have a really great guest. Incredible. I saw her, I think, on the Illuminati. It was, that's Helium 10's elite program. She was talking with Manny about copywriting. Diane Boistler. And I hope I'm saying Diane's last name right. But anyway, she's going to be on. She's going to be talking about some really cool copywriting tips and, you know, how to implement them in your Amazon or e-com store. All right, everybody. So thanks for joining. And we look forward to seeing you every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Eastern Standard Time at noon. And have a great day. 100, 100, 100.